Well, good morning. So a couple weeks ago, the Lord was on Friday night speaking to us about our eternal Father. And I guess Paul heard that and I heard that. So the other week we were discussing, well, we had a message and Paul and I were both saying we had something. So Paul went first. And then when he started preaching, I said, that was my message. I was going to preach about the Father. So here we go. We got part two. But to start off, I wanted to first read a passage from Isaiah 9 that we often read during the Christmas time. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." We know who this is talking about. This is Jesus, right? And it says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." And I have to turn the page right. "Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end.
Yes, Lord.
And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, he has ordered and established justice and judgment." Isn't it amazing that in this scripture that we have always read about Jesus, it says that he's the one, that he's the mighty God, and two, he's the eternal Father. Paul talked about that a little bit last week, where Jesus said that he and the Father are one. And they're one in such a way that sometimes we get confused who we're talking about, right? Because here it's mentioning that Jesus is the eternal Father. Well, today I wanted to talk about the role and the nature of God or of our Father. And if he is a father, then what does that mean? You know, we all grew up with our fathers, and some of them were I'm sure they all had something good about them, but there's also a lot of maybe human mixture with our fathers. You know, they did maybe a lot of things wrong, and if you had a father that wasn't too good, it was really hard when you came to the kingdom to comprehend or to receive that God is Father, because we struggled with our own father, and therefore we're struggling with God being our Father. But I wanted to go over some things about the nature of what a father does and what he gives, and so that when we do that, we need to not just think about our earthly father, but understand that our Heavenly Father is perfect, and that he treats us maybe different than our earthly fathers did. The first thing that I wanted to talk about is that our Father gives us our name, right? We're born and he not only gives us a first name, but we also take on his last name or his surname. And so for me, I was the Zimmerman on the road, and there was lots of Zimmermans on the road, and I always, growing up, when I was young, I used to think that everybody wanted to be a Zimmerman, because it was just the nature of how, where I grew up, that I just thought that everybody wanted to be one, and it's too bad I was one, but everybody else, had to struggle along, because where I was seemed like it was the center of everything, right? Isn't that the way children think? But I wanted to read for us in Ephesians 3, starting at 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named." You see, God names us and we take on his name when he becomes our Father, and that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory and to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in our inner man. See, when we receive the name from our Father, what we're saying is that we receive our identity. And my identity was that I was a Zimmerman. I was the son of Calvin. And when I went out and, you know, somebody would meet me, say, "Oh, you're Calvin's son," you know. So my identity was from my Father. And if I was secure in my Father's love and secure in my family, then my identity was about myself was really strong because I knew who I was. And the same is with God as our Father. If we come into God being our Father, we receive the identity in Christ. That's what we talk about, is that if you're having a problem, well, maybe your identity is messed up. Maybe you're not understanding that God really loves you and the effect of that. Look at our society. It's so messed up with identity issues, isn't it? And it's because they don't know, one, the love of their Father, and two, they don't know the love of God. And therefore, they get confused on who they are and what their identity is, and it just causes so many issues in their life. So we need to all know that we are the children of God. And as the children of God, we have the, it says that if we believe in him, that he gives us the right to be called the children of God. It says that in James 1:12. John, thank you. Got James on the mind. And it's a beautiful thing that we are. The most important thing about me is not what any ministry I have or any gifting that I have, but it's that I am a child of God. That I'm going to have for eternity, right? So the first thing our Father gives us is his name and gives us identity. The second thing I wanted to talk about is that our Father teaches us. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it talks about how a father teaches his children. And it starts off with, in verse 4, talking about the basic understanding of who God is, that He's one God. And then in verse 6 it says, "And these words which I have commanded you today shall be in your heart." See, the first thing, if your Father's going to teach you something, it needs to be in him. And we know that our Heavenly Father has everything in his heart that's right and pure. So our Father needs to have what's right in his heart. And whatever's in his heart, and the scripture here is saying, let these commandments be in his heart. And then it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk with them when you are sitting in your house, and when you're walking in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So what it's communicating is that our Father teaches us as a part of life. It's not hearing a lecture. No child wants to hear a lecture, and I really don't want to hear a lecture from God either, right? You know, but if I can experience what's in his heart, and the way that I do that is that I'm I'm doing it while we're walking and talking along the way. And when we sit down in the house and we're having a meal together, and Father begins to communicate his heart on different things. He starts to tell his jokes that we kind of laugh at and we say, oh, that's Dad, right? But now that I'm older, I'm saying the same jokes, right? I find myself with the same humor that he has, because my characteristics and some of the things that were natural in him is partly hereditary, but it's partly learned of all the things that I learned from him when I was living with him. Isn't that true? I mean, I kind of walk like him, and I kind of talk like him, and I tell all the same bad jokes, you know, and occasionally I'll come out with a song that he always sang, some silly song, you know, and it makes you laugh. The other day, I was, you know the older drills, not the one you tighten up yourself, but the one with the key. Every time I put the key in there to tighten it, I remember my dad say, well, you only need one hole to take it, to loosen it, but you need all three to tighten it, right? And so every time I pick up a drill, that's what I remember. It's something he taught me, right? And it's true. If you just try tightening those chucks with one hole, it's not going to stay very long. You got to tighten it with all three. Well, anyway, so the Father, it says that, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall put them frontal between your eyes, and you shall write them on your doorposts. See, the idea there is threefold, is that the Father needs to put things on the doorpost. It's like the entry points into the house. See, the Father brings the protection of when you're going into your home, that it needs to be a place of peace. And when you enter in through that doorpost, that he put those things on the doorpost, that you know you're in God's, in your Father's home. You know, I remember my father say, well, if you don't want to follow the rules, you know, you know, he put boundaries in the house, right, of what I was supposed to say and what I couldn't say, right? And it's the same thing where he put them on his hands, you know, his hands. I watched his hands work and do things, and those things became things that I did. See, our Father teaches us by working alongside with him. Another thing that the Lord brings, or the Father brings, is encouragement. And I remember, you know, working with him and doing things, and when we accomplished something, he would tell me, you know, that was a good job today. We did a good job today, you know, and it was a we comment, right? You know, with my dad, he would come into the room every morning and wake me up, right, on a day that we were going to work, right? And because I grew up on a farm, so we got up to do things. So he'd come into the room and wake you up, and no, especially no teenager wants to get up, right? And so he'd wake you up, but then he would stand in the doorway, and after he got me awake, and he would start to say, oh, today we gotta go up to the barn, and we gotta feed the cows, and then after that we gotta make this, and we gotta do that. And while he was talking about all those things, I started to think about, yeah, how are we gonna do that, you know? And the next thing you know, I'm wide awake because I'm thinking about the tasks of the day, right? And so you know, he was giving to me, you know, that's actually one of my favorite times of the day now, is that when I wake up in the morning, my mind is thinking about things. And it's the time for me that the Lord speaks to me the most. And if I got a problem that I can't figure out with programming or something with building or something, it's usually the time that I get the understanding. Oh, you need to do it this way. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. You know, and it's partly maybe with training that my dad did, but it's also the time now that my Heavenly Father gives me something that I need to understand. And it's maybe because my spirit is quieter at that point that he speaks to me about that. The next area, and I'm not going to talk about, you know, every area possible with what the Father does, but I did want to say that when Jesus came, especially in the book of Matthew, the whole discussion that began, that he brought out a new understanding of God as our Father. And if you read through Matthew, you see it constantly. You see it in the other Gospels, but it's primarily in Matthew that you see that over and over again that Jesus is talking about my Father, or our Father who is in heaven. And Matthew is a very unique, all the books, the Gospels are different. And this one primarily is geared towards dealing with Old Testament prophecy and how Jesus fulfilled them all. And then it's primarily for a Jewish audience, and it primarily deals with God as our Father. And so that understanding of God as our Father is so prominent and so deep that we need to fully comprehend that. But I want to go now to Hebrews chapter 12 and talk about another thing a father brings. And that's correction or discipline or chastening, as it says in the New King James. So with this, the writer starts off quoting a proverb where it talks about, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." And then it goes on and says, well, if you're not being disciplined by your father, that you're illegitimate. So the point is that it's the love of God, or it's the love of the Father, of why he brings discipline to us and sets our life on a course that is better than we would choose for ourselves. So furthermore, it says that we had earthly fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect, and that's true. Every son that I know of that was disciplined in a fairly decent way by their father respects their father a lot. And so he said, so we, how much more should we be subject to our Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us that seemed best to them. See, our Father did the best they could in disciplining us. They disciplined us the way that seemed best to them. But then it opens up the real motivation of an earthly father and why they discipline their sons. And it says, but he, God, disciplines us for our profit. So what we see is that most of the time with our earthly fathers, they disciplined us for their benefit, right? You know, the typical story, the father comes home, he's reading his paper, and the children are on the floor, and they're making a lot of noise and carrying on. And so he yells at them and says, stop making so much noise, behave, right? And the motivation is, well, you're bothering me. I'm trying to read my paper, right? And so a lot of times our earthly fathers disciplined us for their benefit, right? So that we would stop bothering them, right? But But what we see here is that our Father in heaven never does that. We need to understand that. Our Father in heaven only disciplines us for our benefit. It's not because we're bothering him. It's not because we embarrassed him with us doing whatever. See, I've seen this in churches where a pastor was, you know, maybe ignoring some major sins in somebody's life and not helping them with it. But then something happens where something became public and it embarrassed the pastor, right? And now he comes down with a discipline, right? Well, you need to get your act together here. You embarrass me, right? And so you see that is a motivation sometimes of why discipline may come down even in churches because it's for the leader's benefit, right? So one thing that I understood as an elder, if we're going to have somebody come in and talk with them about something going on in their life, it has to be about them. It has to be about for their benefit. It has to be about something that would help them change and grow up and receive more from the Lord, and not so that I can look good and, you know, look at what you're doing wrong. So it says that it's for our profit that we may be partakers in his glory or in his holiness. See, the whole motivation for correction is so that we can do better, not so that the person disciplining you can get you through your Hail Marys or, you know, that concept. But the point is that no discipline seems joyful at the present time, but painful. But nevertheless, it can yield a peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who are, do you know the scripture? Trained by it. See, I've known people who have gone through some major things in their life, but they pointed their fingers and they said, oh, that's somebody else's made me do it, or, you know, I wouldn't have done it if you didn't do this, and the whole discipline thing, what God was bringing was not dealt with right because they would not embrace what God was bringing them to. And so they were not trained by it, and they therefore did not reap the fruit that the Father was bringing. Well, what I wanted to bring is that an understanding today of is that we come to the Lord and we say that we come into his kingdom. And sometimes the idea of a kingdom is strange to us because we didn't grow up in a kingdom like England, you know, with a king. And even that's fairly distorted the way they treat royalty there, right? But the thing that we need to understand is that God's kingdom for us, because he's our Father and we are his children, is that it is a family. And so if we can come to the place where we see that the kingdom of God or our time that we, what we're really about is entering into God's house. And it's the Father's house that brings us peace. It's the Father's house that brings us identity. It's the Father's house. Being there helps us to grow and change as he brings discipline into our life. In Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, it talks about that God is the father to the fatherless and the protector of the widows. And then it says, is he in his holy habitation? So in God's house, in his heart, that's who he is. He's the father to the fatherless. He brings family to us. And it says that he, those that are without family or isolated, he brings them into family. So I want to give you a little picture of that for me that I've understood from my growing up. When I was a young person, or when I was in my father's house, it was a place of peace because you know, it was my dad's house, and I had very little responsibility, right? I didn't have to pay the taxes. I didn't have to pay the utility bill. I didn't have to worry about the food on the table. See, all that was supplied by my father and my mother. And so I worked. I worked hard. He would get me up, and we would do whatever, but it was not my work, you see. I only did what he asked me to do. And, you know, and that was great. You know, I mean, we could accomplish something that he wanted to do, and he was really happy about it, and I enjoyed the work, and I liked working with my family, doing what we were doing. You see, and that's really a picture of what it means to be in God's family. I love the scripture in Matthew 11, the end of Matthew 11. He talks about that no one knows the Father, but Jesus is saying no one knows the Father but the Son, and only the Son can reveal the Father. And then he goes on and says the scripture that we all know, that yet you who are heavy laden, you know, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. And then it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, that's exactly the way it was when I was in my father's house. The burden was light because it was his burden. He's the one who supplied all that I needed. I had no wants. And whatever I did with him because it was his effort. See, the problem that I see with a lot of churches and a lot of Christians is that they decide what they want to do. Oh, it would be good if we went out and evangelized over here, or maybe I can raise some money to send this over to there. And that would be like me deciding, well, I think I'm going to, you know, sell one of the cows and put the money in my pocket, right? You know, it's just wrong, because that cow doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my Father. And as the Son, I will inherit everything that he has, but it's not for me to make that decision. And so I see that a lot of people have come into the kingdom, and yet they're acting like they're not part of the family. And they're doing things that is on their own accord and not by their own agenda, and not by what the Father's agenda is. And so we find so much mixture in the church because mainly the leaders are running around doing what they see to do. We would, in other settings, say, well, they're not really being a kingdom man. But the real thing is they're not being a good son, because they're not hearing their Father and doing what the Father is asking them to do. So we need to lay down trying to be noticed. We need to lay down trying to be somebody important or accomplish something in your name. But to realize that it's only God, it's only the Father's business that we should be about. Isn't that what Jesus said over and over again? When his brothers came to him and said, well, you need to go down to Jerusalem in John chapter 7. You need to go down to Jerusalem and you know, make a name for yourself. And he said, no, I only do what the Father says. You go down. But then later he shows up about halfway through the feast, and it's because the Father now has told him what to do. And it's that mentality that men can get, that they want to be noticed. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to become important. But Christ was happy to stay in the background and only do what he heard the Father say. See, he stayed as the Son, listening to his Father and only operating out of the Father's house. What we're talking about today is on the one hand very easy, because Jesus makes our burden light. On the other hand, with our human nature, it's very difficult, because we want to accomplish something. And, you know, God, would you just hurry up? But I read to begin with is that the government is upon his shoulders. See, in the Father's house, there is a government. And that government goes out and it will cover the earth. And if we're not operating out of the house of God or out of the Father's house, then we're going to find ourselves at opposite ends of the government of God. And it says that, and this is something I cannot understand, that of it, it says that it will continue forever, expanding forever. I don't know how that works. You did that with the universe as well, I guess, but you know, I don't understand how that will be. But I don't want to get caught outside of his house trying to do something supposedly in his name and not be in the house of God. Because that's where peace is. That's where my identity is. It's where I can be corrected and in that correction I can find the fruit of peace in my life. So I guess I stand before you today to say that let's all be in the Father's house, doing the Father's business, and hearing from the Father and bringing that forth, and then we'll see where God brings us, what God does with us. And in that we will find peace. It doesn't matter if I'm popular. It doesn't matter if I wrote a bunch of books and people like them. You know, it doesn't matter about any of those things. It only matters that God loves me and I am his child. And as his child, because he is my Father, and as his child, I want to behave as a good child. And that's walking before Him, hearing from Him, and doing what He's asked me to do. So, that's easy, right? Let's do that. Sounds easy. Yeah, it is easy. All we got to do is lay down our life, right? See, that's the point. You know, we need to pick up that cross, right? Lay down our desires. Lay down our motivations. And rest in Him. I'm at the point where I don't want to tell God anymore what to do. I mean, I may pray and say, you know, Father, you know, can we do this today? You know, and He may say yes or no, but that's okay. If He comes in with his work thing in the morning and starts to tell me what to do, I'm not going to say, no, I want to do this. You know. See, we need to operate as sons and daughters and not as a hired man. And when we do that, we will have the peace of God. What a beautiful thing to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. When that's in your heart, you can be content doing anything or nothing. But usually the nothing with God is something. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Is that, you know, it's like He says to be ready. It's like being at the starting line, and instead of standing up and looking around at the starting line, you got to be down in position waiting to hear the go, right? And when the go goes, you go, right? Because if you're in a dash, you know, you're going to lose if you're not ready. But God brings us lots of grace and helps us to get ready. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank You, Heavenly Father, that You are our Father and we are Your children. We thank You for Your correction. We thank You for the name that You have given us, for the love that You have given us, for the identity that You have given us. Oh, to be a child of God, what a beautiful thing. We just thank You for teaching us along the way that we can learn from Your heart. What's in Your heart, we want to know, Lord Jesus. We want to be with You and be close to You and learning from You each step along the way, Lord. For You have told us that Your kingdom is coming. And we want to be a part of what You are bringing here upon the earth. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.